Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. This is our first Big Show of 2023, and I'm happy to be back because I have genuinely missed hanging out with everyone. So,
me too. Yeah,
this is really nice. Speaking of nice, I'm hanging out with two amazing people today. Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. This feels like we haven't done this in a while, which it's, I mean, it's only been, was it 2 weeks?
It feels like it's been a lot longer.
It feels like it's been a long time. And I mean, Jeff, we did even a like year end show on In Touch with iOS together. So we haven't even like totally not done any podcasts whatsoever. So yeah, no, it's been a cool time. Yeah. I don't want to go back to work next week. You know, I have vacation stuff. But yeah, yeah. But summer's coming.
That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, just so everyone knows, if at some point the show just simply disappears very abruptly, there are people outside cutting down a tree that should have been cut down decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in the United States, where you'd think we have the most incredibly modern infrastructure in the world. No, my power lines and internet lines are all above ground. Yes, that's in a place where it snows and rains and freezes. Yeah. Anyhow,
we did have that modern grid in 1894.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if some of the same poles from when Boulder was started are still in use today.
Oh, probably.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, there's a reason we're running on 110.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we disappear abruptly, that means that the strategy for cutting down the tree failed and it went through the lines. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what happens.
Or someone was like, oh, what's this? We don't need that. Just cut it.
Absolutely plausible. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Anyhow. So if Jeff meets his demise, you'll see it live.
Yes, you will.
I hope not.
Yeah. But boy, won't that make for great viewer numbers?
Yeah.
Yep. So Bob Beach, you'll see it.
It's true. It's true.
Ben, how are you doing? And you are looking sharp.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone's got to make this look good.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, Patrice is always looking sharp, and now you are. I clearly need to step up my fashion game.
I mean, all that's missing is like a really nice pair of sunglasses, and you could be in the Men in Black.
Crap, they're in my car.
And we would never remember it. So
yeah, for all we know, he has shown us the glasses, mm-hmm. and you've made this joke several times.
Oh, probably.
Patrice, look right here.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So first show of the year. And I'm going to start it off by saying, Ewan, you are awesome and we miss you. And hopefully your schedule will work out so that you can join us again soon. And until then, we will continue to hold down the fort for you and keep shows happening. So hi, Ewan. And Patrice, you are the should I say instigator or inspiration for what we want to do.
Tomato.
Uh-huh. The I always steal ideas from others person. Is that me, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started that last year, so this is not even a new thing, but I mean, it's something that other shows have done before and have been doing for I don't know, 10 years or something. Mm-hmm. We're gonna try to predict what's gonna happen this year in our, as always, funny and usually wrong way. So there's that. Before the show started, we found a name. Let's see if this one sticks. We call that the BTN Big Show Annual BS for 2023. So BS in quotes is the title of the shenanigans we're doing. There are some rules that I'm going to read for you, and you should lie down for them. I don't know. Do a handstand, yoga, I don't know. Do whatever you want. Like official rule reading. But, so the BS consists of multiple rounds. We're going to do, I would say, 3 rounds today since we have only 3 people. So we can do a little bit more. In each round, each panelist will introduce a prediction for the upcoming year. There's no voting. There's no, I don't know, putting numbers on it, betting, nothing. Just say what the prediction is. That's it. The prediction period starts with the first show of the year. So today, January 5th, 2023, and ends on December 31st. And anything that happened before, so any CES announcement already happened, or anything that happens after December 31st, we don't care about. It's literally just about this year. And the predictions should be risky enough. So if you say there will be another iOS this year, or there will be another Android, because we're in the big show, or there will be whatever you want to say, like there will be power at Tom's house this year. I would.
That might be a risky one.
That might be a risky. Okay, yeah. Given that he lives in the US, that might be a risky one. No, but it should be risky enough so that we have something to talk about. And you should also like it should be something that we can judge, like because predictions cannot be repeated. Once someone has picked it, it's off the table. And it's only correct if we can prove it to have happened. So or if there's a rumor that something someone might do, that does not count. So if there's a rumor that Ben is going to catch Elvis, who, you know, lives on another planet, we can prove that. So who knows? Can't judge that.
And although the person if with Ben could prove that, well, then we would have to allow it.
And then we would have to allow it, but as that we would never know. So, and the person with the highest number of correct predictions wins and is named king or queen of BTN for that year or of BS. King, we should change that. Let's change the rule. King or queen of BTN BS.
There we go.
Just because. And of course, in case of a tie, we'll do a coin toss or 3 to decide. However many we need to decide.
Unlike the U.S. House of Representatives, which will just keep tossing and tossing yes. and tossing.
Yeah, until they like the results. Isn't that how democracies work? You just keep apparently. Voting until you like the result?
Yeah. I don't remember this in my civics classes.
It wasn't.
I don't think so, no. So those are the official rules, and we're going to start the first round, and I'm going to start with Ben. What is your very first prediction for this year?
There will be an ARM-powered Windows gaming PC released.
Wow, okay.
Oh, I like that. ARM-powered
Windows gaming PC. I think Windows is the important part because I mean, in the ARM-powered Mac gaming something is already there.
And, okay, so do you see this as something that gets like a new class of games, or it plays the Windows PC games that are already available?
I think it will play what's already available. I mean, what Microsoft has isn't as good as Rosetta, but it is there.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. You know, they do have Intel Windows-powered handheld computers in a tablet form factor. So it's not necessarily going to be a desktop or a laptop.
Oh, so, okay. Now, interesting.
An interesting prediction.
Are there any consoles that are running ARM, which should show you how in touch I am with gaming hardware?
Nintendo Switch.
Okay. Okay, so Xbox is still PowerPC?
No, both Xbox, Sony, and the Steam Deck are running x86.
Mm-hmm. I think they're all running Intel chips.
Oh, okay. See, that shows you really how far out of touch I am, because I didn't even realize that Xbox wasn't using PowerPC anymore.
Yep, as are the Windows-powered handheld gaming consoles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're both running custom AMD hardware, which is pretty similar to what's in the Steam Deck.
Yeah, AMD being the important part here, because Intel doesn't have anything.
Oh, with Intel, the battery would be dead in 25 minutes.
Seconds.
Yeah. And the processor would probably melt through the case anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you would need a power brick that's five times the size of the device.
But it would come with its own carrying backpack, so it's still portable.
Good idea. Do we get socks?
Hence why I think there's going to be an ARM powered version.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think there is going to be a desktop. I can't talk. A desktop class ARM processor released this year.
Mm-hmm. No, that totally makes sense. Jeff, what is your first prediction for the year?
My first prediction is related to artificial intelligence and pushback. So here's my prediction. Because of what we're seeing specifically with ChatGPT right now, we're going to see pushback, because there will be like schools that ban accessing AI tools, and we're going to see that at some point a mainstream news article will have been written by ChatGPT and no one knew it until it was revealed later, and then it becomes a big scandal.
That's probably already happened.
Oh, it probably. Oh, damn. Okay. Well, nonetheless, we're going.
Well,
to
we
see...
don't know. Well, I don't know. We would have to research.
So, okay. So it would it still happen. Apply if it's revealed that that an article was written by ChatGPT?
I think
today or later.
I think it already happened. I think I remember, like, late last year, there was some major news outlet, when they were talking of ChatGPT, they basically generated an article and then said, hey, this article is written by ChatGPT.
Okay, well, the difference is they made it clear that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about someone actually tries to pull one over on us, where they don't write the article. They just they release this article and let us believe it was written by them and not an AI. But anyhow, so we're going to get a big pushback against using AI tools to generate written content.
I'm trying to how would we judge that? Like, what is big pushback, and how would we decide if this happened at the end of the year?
It's a good question. All right. So yep. If we see a large number of school districts, universities, educational institutions banning the use and not just banning, but like blocking access to those tools. I think that would qualify.
Yeah, Jeff, I am hearing representatives of Chat GPT have asked to join the show.
Okay, I wrote down big pushback against AI tools, a large number of educational organizations banning the use of these tools.
Okay, that works.
Okay. Good, that means it's my turn. I have a bunch of things related to Elon Musk and Twitter and Tesla. but I think the one thing that I think will happen is Tesla will have to shut down the full self-driving beta. I mean, there's already investigations and people saying it's a scam and it's, I mean, very, very dangerous a lot of times. And I think they will simply have to shut it down, and not because they, like, it's not that they want to shut it down. I think they will be forced to shut it down. Just pressure from governments and so on.
That one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he has gotten too much of the wrong kind of attention.
Mm-hmm.
For that, going after Tesla is going to be on a lot of politicians' plate.
And I mean, for good reason. Like, I mean, it's not just about the things that Elon is doing, but I think because of the technology and how they're applying it. Like, basically every other player has tried, except for what was the company? Was it Uber? I think it was Uber, right? They shut down their program completely. I think it was Uber.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Yeah. But basically every other company has been very, very careful, like very limited, like years and decades of research and so on. And then like you can get a cab in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's not what Tesla has done.
No.
And I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like the others. Yeah.
Yeah. They're for rocking the boat for good or bad.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, basically, and it's called a beta. Basically, Tesla released an alpha version into the wild and said, here, use it. Mm-hmm. At your own risk, by the way, but here, use it. And people have done it. And that's not, I mean, it hasn't ended well already. And
it hasn't it's not ended gonna well end, many times.
Yeah. And it's not going to end well for Tesla.
No.
I'm with you. Yep.
Yeah. But it's still risky enough. I mean, Tesla is like, they've had a run, like they've done some crazy stuff and have gotten away with it, so who knows. I mean, he still has enough money, so.
And that's even after losing more money than anyone else ever.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. That is our first round. Ben, let's do another round.
Did Jeff have a go?
Jeff already had a go. He was, okay.
But that shows you how not rememberable my prediction was.
Yep.
Mine was AI pushback.
Yeah. I will do a follow on to Tesla. In that I think there are going to be large amounts of shares purchased by activist investors. Like a Carl Icahn.
Sorry, you have to repeat that because I just unplugged my headphones. And I couldn't write it down.
A not insignificant portion of Tesla shares will be purchased by an or multiple activist investors like Carl Icahn. because, well,
just by what did you say, like a
activist investors.
Activist investors. Okay.
Because let's be honest, this is exactly the kind of situation that people like Icon like, where you had a company which has a very good large potential for stock increase at a bargain basement price.
Mm-hmm. And that is, oops, no, that's the wrong word. My autocorrect just wanted to change insignificant.
What insignificant.
Into indignant.
Well, that kind of applies with Elon.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say the people that would be investing, that fits too.
That is true. Yeah. That actually takes one of my predictions off the table, I think, because I wanted to have a prediction about the Tesla like share price. I would have said it goes below $90 this year.
Yeah.
But I think since you talked about shares, I'm not going to take that one.
And I will also say this one. If those activist investors get enough of the company, mm-hmm. they are not the kind of people who like volatility.
Oh no.
Which means someone has a not insignificant chance of no longer being the CEO of Tesla in the next one.
Yeah, I mean, you know what that also means? That Elon will have to sell more shares. Because I don't, there's enough investors out there. There's enough shares out there that someone could probably buy them. But I have a feeling it will be Elon who has to sell them to make up for Twitter, basically.
Yeah, I mean, he already has.
Plausible.
Mm-hmm.
He already has sold significant shares.
Yeah. And at the low price. I mean, at $110, like down from 400 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be very interesting to see the battle to dethrone Elon as CEO mm-hmm. of Tesla, especially mm-hmm. considering he has his ego.
Yeah, yes.
But also because he bought the position.
Mm-hmm.
And
he did.
And I don't think he wants to let that go. And so he will make it a very ugly circus if they try and remove him.
Uglier circus than the Twitter purchase.
But I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Tesla has lost almost 3/4 of its value mm-hmm. since its high last year. The investors not named Elon Musk are not happy right now.
Mm-mm.
And rightly so.
Yeah.
I would say even Elon probably isn't happy.
Yeah, which means between this and his shenanigans at another company, he is at his most vulnerable as far as the CEO position of Tesla.
Mm-hmm. I think so. But as long as he has enough shares, there's not much people can do. And he clearly doesn't care about scandals or anything.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when you're someone that's been in a position their whole life where mm-hmm. they perceive themselves as untouchable, mm-hmm. they don't care about scandals.
Yeah.
Perceive them as fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so too. I mean, the only thing that could happen is I was thinking like if he went to jail or something, I don't think that would happen. Well, what make a difference for him? I think the SEC forcing him out might be the only other option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the one thing old money billionaires don't like is new money billionaires.
Especially asshole ones.
Yes.
How do you tell that?
Yeah, that's a good question. How do you tell? I think one can tell the other, right? That's how it works.
Okay. Yeah, it's a species thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. You can identify the species. Jeff, what's your second prediction?
My second prediction turns out is Tesla related also.
Wow, we have so much Tesla this year.
Well, welcome to the Tesla show.
Yeah. So the Tesla Cybertruck is not happening this year. And
What do you mean with happening?
There is no Tesla Cybertruck shipping this year.
Not shipping this year. Okay.
Yeah. Jeff, you're supposed to have one with some risk.
Well, I mean, Elon is there is a risk. Elon is saying they're going to ship this year, and it's been enough years that it could actually happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if
he could said on that the planet. To, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean it like, you know, he said it whatever 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and usually it takes 3-4 years for something to happen in any of his companies, so. It's possible.
Then again, he also said the window wouldn't break.
and it broke.
I mean, they did finally ship the first trucks, like the semis.
Yep. And I was actually quite surprised that happened. But mm-hmm. I have a hypothesis on why it happened. And it's because they had been contracted by was it Coca-Cola?
Pepsi.
A lot of big companies. It's like I think Amazon even got a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think someone gave Elon a call and said, "Hi, I'm from the legal team at Pepsi, and we've already given you all this money, and it would be mm-hmm. less expensive for you to actually build and deliver trucks to us than not."
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
I mean, and the pre-orders from like for the other vehicles. I mean, those are individuals. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, what are they gonna do? Sue him?
But I mean, here's the other part of it. His main competitor, the main competitors in this space, Freightliner is already there. Volvo is already there.
Rivian.
Yep. Rivian. Well, Rivian's not doing a Class 8 semi.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But and the Nikola actually got smart for once and based their truck on in partnership with Scania, which means mm-hmm. yeah, it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So if built in basically, market. Yeah, the Tesla semi, if it didn't ship this year, was never going to ship. Yeah.
Nobody would care.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of lawsuits, I have a strong feeling that the failure of the Cybertruck this year will lead to a class action lawsuit.
Mm. Well. I mean, what doesn't?
Yes, yeah, like, so almost that's, anything. That's why that's not really a prediction because no. that you know that that's like saying I predict that the sun will rise in the morning.
Mm, exactly.
From the east. Well,
in the east. Yeah, I mean, until it doesn't, but yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it's for at least the near term, a pretty safe
mm-hmm.
bet.
Mm-hmm, I would say it's kind of like saying water is wet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling. I have a feeling it's not going to ship. Well, you know, with you saying that and or me us saying that, it's going to ship because we're always wrong. So
yeah. So yep. So all of you people that have already dropped money on on a Cybertruck, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yes. Also, Elon Musk, you're welcome. Give us some money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm gonna stay kind of on brand, but go off Tesla and go on to Twitter. I think Twitter will file for bankruptcy this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even want to know, but I think they're losing enough money and they're like, enough shit has happened on Twitter, enough trust has been broken, that I don't think the company will survive. It might survive, but it will need to go through like a Chapter 11 or something. Mm-hmm. Like some kind of restructuring.
Honestly, I don't think you'll make it past the second quarter. The way it's going.
It's big enough that I think it might make that, but at some point this year, it's not going to be.
Well, considering Elon has had the company stop paying rent,
mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting for the lawsuit, because those are already starting. I'm waiting for the announcement about the Boulder location, mm-hmm. filing a lawsuit. There's a lot of people in this city, including city council, that are really pissed off right now because Twitter had a very big presence here in Boulder. Their offices were, just a couple blocks from where I live. And it's now an abandoned office building. So, you know, if you're looking for a lot of square footage for a new office in downtown Boulder, I know where you can go look. but Elon hasn't or Twitter hasn't paid the rent on that location for months now.
That's not going to end well.
Yeah.
Shows what Elon is thinking. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah, well, the most recent that I read was the news about him firing the cleaning and maintenance crews at mm-hmm. the offices they have left. And so there's no cleaning that's happening. Hmm. Trash is piling up. Apparently people have started bringing their own toilet paper from home.
Because they can't work at home.
Yeah, exactly.
I just can't wait till one of the utility companies shuts him off.
Oh yeah, if he's not paying rent, why should we assume that utilities are being paid?
Why should we assume that the people are even getting paid?
That's a really good observation. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know who likes to get paid?
TSO host?
Us? TSO host.
Oh, you're actually going right into into TSO host. I thought you were leading into your what your prediction was going to be.
No, my prediction was that Twitter would file for bankruptcy.
That's right. Okay, see, here's the problem. We haven't done a show in so long that I forgot how this works. Patrice, mm-hmm. I am so sorry because I ruined a really, really good segue. That was really good.
It was good for the first one this year.
It was really good, much like the quality of TSO host services. There. Did I redeem it? Did I redeem it? Okay. So here's the deal. TSO host is incredibly generous because what they're doing is giving us the server space we need so that we have a place for the website and for the show files. And they're giving us the bandwidth we need so we can stream content to you every single week. And it's great because they're really good at this, so we don't have problems, which means you don't have problems. What TSO host does is host websites and help you buy domain names. If they start helping with diction, then I'm going to jump on that too. And they're taking what they do so well and very generously helping us out with that. So we don't have trouble with our streaming, with our hosting, and if there are ever problems, they are on top of it. And mm-hmm. Patrice, am I wrong? Am I correct in my assumption that when we've had problems, oftentimes it's something that was on our end, but they still helped us fix it.
Totally. I mean, like usually it was me who broke something. And like, I think once or twice I needed their help because I broke something. They were like right on the money. So it's never, I mean, as I said, it's everything has been rock solid. When something broke, it was always me. So.
Yeah. So they're fantastic at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they're asking of us is so easy. Just go on social media and let TSO hosts know that you appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do. And getting that validation, you know, it's a warm, fuzzy feeling for them and for you because you're doing something nice. So please go do that. Now, when it comes time to buy a domain name or get some web hosting for yourself, go to TSO Hosts because they're there for you. And we are proof that they are really good at what they do. So take advantage of that and take advantage of the fact that they're incredibly generous. Because you are a BTN fan, you can use the discount code BTN20 when you check out and you get 20% off your order, which is really great. So thank you, TSO Hosts, for being here with us today. And I also want to remind everyone that we do need more money coming in for the daily news show.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough money coming in that Kyle is able to produce a couple shows a week, which is better than none at all. But in the world of money and shows, a couple days a week is just one step away from the show is gone. And it's supposed to be a Monday through Friday show. So let's get it back to that. What I would love to see is that we get up to $400 a month coming in for the show, which is basically double where we are right now. And that's just a little bit more than it takes to make the show happen every month. So if we're bringing in $400, it's easy to remember. That's what our goal is. And it helps us build up a little bit of a buffer for the show in case costs go up at some point. We aren't suddenly caught scrambling trying to bring in more money right away. So let's get that up from the 200-ish we're bringing in right now up to 400. And then that way we can get the daily news show back to 5 days a week instead of just two. All right. Now, Patrice, I rely on you basically every show for the whole year. And I genuinely appreciate that you're such a good sport and let me do that. Can you please tell people about the chat?
Of course I can. So we have a live, since this is the beginning of the year, I'm going to explain the whole thing. We do have a live chat that you can talk to us live, as the name says, kind of, right? You can do that every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And also, by the way, every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. And when you join 7 to 9 or 4 to 6 usually p.m., then you can talk to us live. And it's that easy. You head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. It's that easy. So as I said, that's the easiest, the coolest thing. You can talk to us live. You can see the links when we're posting them, all of that. But when you are listening to this after the fact, in your favorite podcast player of choice or on the website or wherever you find the podcast, which is totally fine. That's what we're doing this for. This is what podcasts are for. Very easy. You can still see everything that was talked about. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then you have to, unfortunately, select the date because we don't know where you are coming from, what show you want to see, what chat you want to see. I mean, you can see all of them. Just go through the calendar. But that might take a while because we've been doing this for a long time. But you can select today's date, which is the 5th of January, 2023. Yes, 2023 already. And if you do that, you will see what we talked about today. It's that easy. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat.
Awesome. Patrice, thank you for doing that.
Oh, Ben just shows it, is showing you a chat in the background. Very nice, Ben.
Oh, wow. It's a fully multimedia presentation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which the people listening cannot see.
Yeah, well.
Yet another reason to watch it live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Patrice, I lost count. Did we do all of our predictions?
We should do one more round. So okay. We have a three. Also, lowest chance that we will have zeros. Then we get nothing wrong, right? Whatever. That we get everything wrong and nothing right this way. So let's do one final round and then we can talk about some other stuff. So okay. Ben, what is your... This is the time when you scrape the bottom of the barrel and try to get another one, right?
Yep.
So Ben, what is yours?
Good God. I'm trying to think of all my wild theories. Unfortunately, between the WPC and the EU, they already took all of them. Yeah, during the break. But give me 1 minute. Yeah, give me
here. Should we go to Jeff first and see what Jeff has? Jeff. Okay, Jeff, what do you have for us?
I predict that actually I don't know if this is a fair prediction to do. Because my prediction is going to be that we're going to see a big surge in smartwatch devices that are focusing on health and fitness. And I don't think that's actually a fair,
no.
a fair thing to do because we're kind of already on that trend.
Yeah, we've been on that trend for many, many years.
Yeah, so that's not a fair one.
For a second, I thought you wanted to predict that Ewan would show up on the show this year, but
that would have been a really good prediction.
That would have been a good prediction, and then it wouldn't have happened. So let's not predict that.
Right. Good call. All right. So I will not predict that.
You know, when we predict it, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. So anyhow, that was my third pick, but it's a bad one. So I need to come up with something else really quick. Okay. Here is my completely off the cuff third prediction. We are going to have a big scientific discovery because of the James Webb Space Telescope that changes our perception on how light travels through space. Therefore, it increases the likelihood that we can develop faster than light travel technology. So I guess my prediction is major scientific breakthrough involving James Webb Space Telescope that pushes us closer to faster than light space travel.
Yep. And thank you for clarifying that, Jeff, because we also did have a big scientific breakthrough during the break.
Oh, we did?
Well, it was last year, so it wouldn't count.
So, all right, there you go.
That's an interesting one. That is a bold one a big scientific discovery, I would have said, could happen, but like that it pushes us closer to faster. I should put that in correctly, to faster than light. Space travel. That is bold.
Might as well go bold.
Yeah, go bold or go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep, I have mine as well now.
Okay.
We will see another complete reversal on DC from Warner Brothers Discovery.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
What do you mean with a complete reversal?
I think there's going to be enough backlash where James Gunn will step down. And they will, since there's already stuff in the works, they will revert to the old, the plans before that, which were to basically restart the Snyderverse.
Well, okay.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, if that's the case, then I hope that they did not burn all of the footage from Batgirl, and that it's still around so they can actually release the movie.
If they didn't, can we get a nice recovery service to sponsor the show?
Oh, that would be nice. Oh my god. Yeah, that indeed could be interesting. Oh, so my third. I was thinking about, okay, what could the EU do? That would be, I mean, what completely insane thing could the EU do that could happen this year? But they've already done everything.
All smart phone makers to design their phones for removable batteries.
They could do that. I mean, and that's actually not a bad idea. I'm thinking about the whole right to repair topic. I mean, there has been no legislation around that yet, but that could, in theory, happen. But I mean, what would be the insane thing that the EU does? Just saying, hey, well, you have to allow people to repair it is not insane enough.
You have to standardize on parts.
Yeah,
they've already done that.
Yeah, that would be interesting. No, I'm gonna go the other direction. I'm gonna say there will be a scandal surrounding a Samsung device again. Whether it burns, whether it breaks, whether it, I don't know, but there will be some scandal surrounding, like some big thing that you see in the news everywhere, surrounding a Samsung device again, because they just can't, like, they just don't care.
It's part of their business model.
It's part of their business model to break things. So that's mine. I don't know. Like with the EU, it's so hard to predict, because when you think, okay, this is the most insane thing they could do, they're just like, oh, hold my beer.
Yeah.
And then they come up with another thing. So I don't even know what I would predict. So, but Samsung releasing something that is completely effed up and create some kind of scandal, totally doable. They probably have a department for that. They're like, okay, what can we engineer this year?
That's almost not even a prediction.
Well, department of scandals.
I don't think they didn't do anything last year. At least I don't remember anything. So, but it's time. Like they're I mean, they do, yeah. And I mean, there is something to it, because they've lost steam, like in the Android market.
Yeah, it all escaped from the batteries.
From the batteries from the Galaxy Note. That's true.
Yep.
Google has basically taken over the game, and they can't allow that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm looking forward to Samsung's catastrophic debacle of 2023.
Mm-hmm. So that is our third and final round. So now we have our BS for the year set up. and we will not talk about it. Well, at least not intentionally talk about it until next year. The until first show until it happens. Yeah, the first show in 2024. We will see what has actually happened this year, and we will probably be like, oh my God, like this is true. This happened. It's not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Zuin, we'll see you on the show, buddy.
That won't be fun.
And we have just enough time to do cool things now.
Ah, oh, let's do cool things.
All right. Who has the first cool thing?
I'll go.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, there's a lot of trends at CES this year. One, which will probably be good for all of us on this panel, lots and lots of good and affordable Thunderbolt 4 hubs.
Nice.
Yep, this one's really thin. They showed it's about the size of a smartphone. It can give you 60 watts of power, which is perfectly fine for my, my M1 Pro MacBook. It's got lots of ports, and the surprising part about this hub, it's $199.
Wow, that's cheap.
Yeah.
And it's attaching, so.
Yeah, it's good quality.
Mm-hmm. I might actually buy one of them.
If you scroll to the bottom of the article that you shared, which is from Apple Insider, it says that you get 20% off through January 12th using the code CES20.
Yep.
20? Interesting.
Which is weird. I would have done CES23.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, yeah, because that would be the year. And then you'd just give everyone 23% off, but whatever.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
All right. So the Satechi Thunderbolt 4 Slim Hub. That looks really nice.
Oh, yeah. And I've been looking at one. I was looking at one of the my brain is off now. It's not used to this kind of exertion.
Thinking be hard.
Yes.
Yeah. So that means it's probably time for my cool thing, and I just decided on it. So give me 1 second to actually find it. So it is a book. It's a new book from Michelle Obama. And it's called The Light We Carry. And if I can find it, then I'll give you the link for it. But it's the follow-up book to Becoming. It's not as much about like autobiography. What is Ben showing?
He's carrying lights.
Okay, good one. It's not like an autobiography, because she's done that. Like, she talked about her whole history, and basically up until the inauguration of Trump. I think that was roughly the end of Becoming. There's some little nuggets here and there in this book about what happened after and what she did and so on. But this is more about finding the inner strength and the things that she has learned about herself since and also before, like while she was in the White House, but also after, and how to deal with what life throws at you. And it's a really, really good book. It's a really interesting book. There's a lot of little interesting things in it that you make you think about it, make you think about your own life, which I think, and she's really good at that. And I think she actually might have found her niche or her thing with this book, because she's like, it's her, like I listened to the audiobook and it's read by her. It's like she wrote it, she listened, she read it, she wrote it. And yeah, it's just super. I mean, it's Michelle Obama. What else can you say?
Mm-hmm.
But it's I would say this is probably a more personal book than Becoming was. it just feels more close to her heart.
Yep. Kind of getting a little bit inside baseball here. I have met the former first lady on several occasions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how exactly how I would describe her, you know, in real life. Very reflective, very introspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's also how I am. And I think that's why this book spoke to me. And I didn't even realize she had released a new book until I thought this was the first book she ever wrote, but it's actually the new book that she wrote. So I'm sorry, it took me a while to get to it. I think it was released in November or something. But yeah, I read it, or I listened to it over Christmas, and yeah. It's a good book.
Okay. Yeah. Which brings us to my cool thing this week. My cool thing is a TV show. Bad Batch Season 2 was released as we record yesterday. At least the first two episodes were. It's on Disney Plus. For those of you that aren't familiar with Bad Batch, it's part of the Star Wars franchise, and it follows a small group of special tactical forces stormtroopers. After Order 66 is enacted and the Galactic Republic has fallen and the Empire has taken over. So it's like it starts literally with the end of the Republic and with Order 66. So season two picks up a little bit after season one would end chronologically, and in the first two episodes, which you get to watch, which is good because where episode one ends, you immediately want to watch episode two. it follows this group of former clone troopers, and continues on with their adventures. It's designed so that it can be more approachable to children, I think. And yet at the same time, it feels like a very, very adult show. And it's just really interesting to see the world of the Star Wars galaxy from the perspective of clone troopers after the Empire takes over, and where do these clones fit in? And what happens to the clones that don't fit in? It's just a really great story. So season two has started, and episodes are released once a week on Wednesdays. Yes, on Wednesdays. So Bad Batch season two, Disney Plus.
Remember, good viewers follow orders.
Good viewers. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
If you've watched a lot of Clone Wars and Bad Batch, you'll get the reference. For the rest of you, go watch, then you get the reference.
And then go watch something extra good. No.
Yeah.
No, I disagree. I don't know. It's not my thing. So I really enjoy Prodigy. It's not my
Prodigy is fantastic. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad that we do get season two of Star Trek Prodigy, because Prodigy, it's the same sort of thing. It's a show that they created so that it's more approachable for kids, but it's clearly a show that has a lot of adult themes.
Mm-hmm. Made for adults, like mm-hmm. by adults for adults.
Yeah, I mean, they clearly followed the Clone Wars / Rebels model and adapted to Star Trek. My brain doesn't work. And it clearly works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Star Trek Prodigy is an incredibly well-written and produced part of the Star Trek franchise.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, come see my friend's aunt act.
Another humble break. It's like, oh, you met Michelle Obama. Oh, you know.
Ben knows everyone.
Ben knows everyone. It's good to know. We know Ben, so by proxy.
Yeah. So we know everyone through Ben. Now, we know everyone, but does everyone know where to find us? Patrice, where can people find you?
That was good, Jeff. That was really good.
Oh, thank you.
You can find me every week here on The Big Show. Next week, we're going to go back to talking about the news. Probably going to talk about some CES stuff because that is happening as we speak. That's also why. Actually, no. That's on the big on the Mac show. We will not have Chuck and Chuck, Chuck and Dave. Yep. Yeah, but you can also find me on the Mac show. Just wanted to mention that. I don't know how my brain went there, but it eventually went there. And you can find everything that I am doing, all the projects, the podcasts, the social media links, not including, well, actually Twitter link might still be there, but I'm not using it. You can send me messages there as long as you want. I'm not going to see it. But all of that you can still find on my website, thepatrice.com.
Awesome. And Ben, where can people find you?
You won't be able to. Flash.
I see what you
Who are you, Ben?
Wait, what?
Who are you?
So, Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me at the Department of Sanitation, because that's my cover. But seriously, at Ben Raythig on your social media of choice.
Awesome. Awesome. Let's see, where can people find me? Jake Ammett on all the social medias. So I am still watching Twitter, primarily because I haven't gotten around to changing all of my automations so that they don't need to involve Twitter anymore. But Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, whatever, I'm easy to find. Then on Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, then on Thursdays here on The Big Show and on In Touch with iOS, and then Fridays on The Mac Show, and then also on The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. And that's good enough for now. So hey, thank you to both of you for being here and helping me start off the year with a smile on my face, because you're both incredibly awesome and wonderful. Thank you to everyone that is watching or listening live today. So glad that you are here. And everyone that watches or listens later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are all awesome. Also awesome is TSO hosts. Thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love. And a thanks to Mueller for making sure we actually have people for the shows, even though today's a little light, but that's not his fault. And
AMC, yes.
Yeah, because everyone's gone right now. And then Ewan, thank you for being the heart of BTN. Without you, we would not be here today. So thank you. Hey, everyone tune in tomorrow for the Mac show and see how poorly my predictions for 2022 turned out. And then join us again next Thursday for the big show. Hey, everyone, have an awesome weekend.